Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This Sunday, we are given in the Gospel the continuation of the Bread of Life discourse that began last Sunday. And today, Jesus tells those who do not yet believe that He gives this life-giving bread. And we have that image of the life-giving bread given to us in Exodus, this bread that's come down from heaven, the manna, the bread from heaven that's given to the Israelites. And as Jesus said, they were given this bread from heaven, but they died. They did not fully accept God's providence. But He's saying that that Jesus Christ gives this life-giving bread, and it is His flesh which is this living bread. Whoever believes this, He says, and whoever eats this will have life eternal with Him. If what Christ says is true, should we not rejoice? Should we not be filled with hope? And we know that Christ means exactly what He says when He says that His flesh is this bread of life. And we know this for three reasons. First of all, the words that He uses in the Greek are very literally taken to mean the gnawing and chewing of flesh. So the word that He uses is not to be meant metaphorically, because it's a very graphic term that is only used when you're talking about real flesh. So we know that from the words that He uses. Secondly, we see the reaction from the listeners. These are Jews who know the Jewish traditions. And in the Jewish tradition, blood is a life-giving source. Blood is not to be touched. Blood is very sacred for them. So for Jesus to say that they will have to eat His blood and or drink His blood and eat His flesh is a very serious matter. And you can tell from their reaction that He is saying something that is very much serious and very scandalous to them. But Jesus obviously does not back down. He does not say, well, wait, I meant that metaphorically, or I meant this, let's take this image. No, He goes on to say, this is My flesh. Thirdly, we see from the early followers of the church that they also interpreted this to mean His living flesh. When we come up to receive the Eucharist, we are receiving the body and the blood of Christ. And the early followers knew this, and the fathers of the church knew this, and the magisterium has continued to accept this as truth. And so, brothers and sisters, this is a strong sign of hope for us. This Eucharist that we come to receive every Sunday and every day that's available to us. And this is an antidote to that which is opposed to love. Often when we're asked what is the opposite of love, sometimes we might say that it's hate. But in reality, what is opposed to love is not hate. What is the complete opposite of love? If we take love to mean the complete emptying of oneself for the good of the other, that's love. And that's exactly what we see in the Eucharist, Jesus Christ emptying Himself completely for us. If that is love, then the opposite would be a total indifference, right? A total indifference to the other, even to the point of using the other for our own good. That's the complete opposite of love. And so we often see an indifference in our society today. Even some of us Catholics, we can fall into it very easily. An indifference, especially in two ways. First of all, an indifference to the real presence of Jesus Christ, because He comes to us in such a simple manner. In bread, and what is first bread and wine, that comes to be the living flesh and the blood of Christ. So it can be really easy sometimes just to forget that this is really Christ here, right? And so we can just become indifferent. Sometimes we just forget and we just come and receive, not preparing ourselves completely as the church has laid out for us. We're to come prepared. We come free from mortal sin, right? That's why we have confession. But sometimes we can just fall into an indifference and a rut, and we just come and we receive. And so we really need to fall out of this bad habit. Secondly, we see often an indifference towards the evil one, right? towards real evil, towards the enemy, and a real denial of the evil one, who, as we read in Genesis, sows discord between man and God. Right? We see that between Adam and Eve, and the serpent coming to sow this discord between the relationship, this perfect relationship that they had with God. And this is very problematic when we deny the existence of evil. When we just say, oh, well, there's just bad people and good people, and let's just be good people. And this is really problematic, especially when we have these revelations of these scandals that occur, especially within our own church. And these situations, especially of abuse in the church, can really lead us to despair. Especially if we are indifferent to the clutches of the evil one. The evil one, of course, does not cause these scandals, these sins. We will never say that. That would just be almost just to put it off on him. No, it's people, and even people within the church who fall into sin. But he does not cause a sin, but he's always there, constantly trying to influence and attack, especially those who are closest to Christ in the church. And so if we have this indifference to the evil one, it really opens us up to attacks from him. And it can really lead us to fall into this rut that I mentioned earlier, just falling into this routine of forgetting that we are in the presence of Christ here. And there's real evil in the world, but there's also goodness in the world. If we are indifferent to the power of the Eucharist, then of course we can fall into despair. Of course our lives as Catholics will not change, and we will just be just living in this constant rut, because we are rejecting this bread that gives life, the flesh of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, we have two powerful weapons as Catholics: the Eucharist, and we have prayer. We believe in the Eucharist, and we prepare ourselves to properly receive the Eucharist, which nourishes us, and we continue to pray for those who harm us and who do evil in the world, those who are victims and those who also are abusers, because we are called to love, right? Love is not indifferent. Love wills the best for the other. So I invite you to go to the source of life, the source of love, here in the Eucharist, to be lifted up and to be given hope, and also to pray for those in need.